Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love him. He loves us so much. You know, the Lord is mightily moving. I don't say that lightly. I'm going to tell you something that I've learned about the Lord. He presents us with light to see what we'll do. People that love him the most will break through and follow that light. People that love him the least, if they get saved, they might come out of the darkness to get saved. But people that despise the light, they love darkness more. They already made a decision. When the light gives them understanding, they try to find something wrong with it. Because they love the dark ways. And I've been talking about how the glory of God works. The Lord presents us with light. See what we'll do. See if we'll come out of this darkness we're in. To see if we'll walk in greater light. But people do different things at different times of their lives. Sometimes people take the low road, but they can always take the high road if they really want to, if it's important to them. Jesus put it this way. He said, the sower sows seeds. He's sowing the seeds out there. Some of the seeds fell on the wayside ground, then the stony ground. Some fell among thorns, some among good ground. So when the Lord is walking down the street, when Jesus is walking down the street doing good, he's doing it publicly. And people that want to know the truth, they hear his words and they come to life and they want more. And they follow him wherever he goes. And they take time out of their busy schedule because everybody has one. And they hear what he has to say with the intent to live the change life. They don't want to go back to the misery. They want a better life. So the Lord put everybody that believe on Jesus from the heart, the Lord give them repentance. And then something wonderful happens. They have the ability to learn of God, the Holy Spirit to guide them. The desire of Jesus is in them because they were born again. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. So, which suggests that we take on his nature and he got rid of our old nature. We still have our personality, but we have his nature with our personality. So if you're the quiet type, you still have the personality of Jesus. And if you continue to learn from him, you know, even a quiet person, it's not always appropriate for a person to always be quiet. That's just their first choice. But when it's Holy Ghost appropriate, when it's covenant appropriate, what I mean by covenant appropriate, covenant means agreement. The Lord put out what he does, what he desires. He's the example of life in the personality of Jesus. Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is busy representing the Father to everybody that he can. All right. And so he lives in agreement with the Lord. When he preaches, he's preaching covenant. He's preaching what God agrees with. And people that come to life, they get to see a broader picture as they receive his words. See, before you can believe the word, you receive it. You welcome it. You embrace it. You receive it. And the more you receive it, the more you walk in it. Then you come to the stage where I believe this to the point that I'm going to do this. Now is faith. See, that's the stages of faith. You receive the word, you believe it, and you act on it. James pointed out that faith without works is dead. And the devils believe and tremble. They believe it, They're outsiders, though. They walked out of the light. The devils did. That's something that all the devils had in common. The fallen angels walked out of life. The demons were created in darkness to be a weapon, because they were hybrids. They were offspring of earth women and fallen angels. You know, that's where you get all those demigods from, that they built temples to, such as Thor and the Olympians, the Titans, you know, all that Greek mythology foolishness. But guess what? The giants were everywhere. So when they died, they became demons. Nevertheless, that's just a little aside. But the demons that we have to deal with, they were designed to be weapons. They don't love the light like we do. And then you got man. And man is put here, made in the image of God, the image and likeness of God. Jesus is a man, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he brought the knowledge of the Father to mankind. As we walk in his light, and how much do we love it? When people love, when they have their first love intact, they love God. They want to know all they can about God. If your personality is to be quiet, just like me, I was a very quiet person. In the grade school, elementary school, I could go a whole day and say very few words. I would talk a lot around my friends, but in class, I would be quiet and observe. I'm an observer. But guess what? It's not always appropriate to be an observer. Sometimes you got to speak. And so you keep your personality, but your likeness becomes like Jesus. And how much of that likeness will you walk in? That's up to you. But see, the more you love the things of God, the more light you'll walk in. And when you enter in, when you receive the knowledge of God, that's how you enter into the greater glories of God. Now, Paul talked about how we grow from glory to glory. Sometimes it's called faith to faith, same thing. But I like to use the word glory, because the glory of God, it does what God does. When God said, let there be light, that was the glory of God. When God made Adam, all the other animals on earth are clothed from within. They grow hide or fur or shell or fins, you know, to protect themselves. Or shell, like a turtle. But man was clothed from with the glory of God. So when he sinned, he became naked. All right? The glory, it gives you light that outshines the sun. So when Moses came off the mountain, they had to kind of shade themselves from his face. When Adam was in his first state, Adam and Eve was in their first state, if you were off planet, you would have known where Adam and Eve was at all times. They couldn't hide. See, a city set on a hill can't be hidden. Jesus said, let your light shine. Now, we shine a little different. We live the life of God by example. And so, if we walked around glowing like Adam and Eve did, then people would have proof. And they wouldn't need faith. So what God did, he gave, we still are clothed with the glory of God, but you can see through this kind of glory. See, when you enter into the glory of God and you receive and embrace the knowledge of God as yours from the inside, and you embrace it on the inside, and you live this way. You live according to the love that John talked about. You become luminous to the world. A light, but that you can see through this light, because it's that kind of love became it's light, because it gives man example of hope. It gives man a living example of God's ways. We represent the ways of God to an anti-godly world. And the ways of God is better than the ways of Satan's deception. So if you take a man, he lives his life by lust, and he's at the park with one of his girlfriends. And then a married couple is over there with their children. He and his girlfriend is going to see this beautiful family out over there playing and swinging their children on the swing or throwing a frisbee and laughing. And they're married and they have children. They're in right standing with God. But the couple that's just, they just have a sex relationship, a lust relationship. When you have a comparison, nothing else compares to a couple in right standing with God, living a life of love without lust. And see, the no matter how you dress it up, the worldly way won't work. You get two men, they got a political marriage, and they look out and they see the couples with their children. And they can't have children. And what they're doing is an abomination to God. Now, God still loves their soul, but the sin he hates. And the sin is hurting them. You see. Or two women, they got a political marriage. Now, the reason I say political marriage is because it's okay with the government. The government don't care about whether you live for God or not. See, you can do these things in different countries. You can even get insurance and buy property now if you're married to somebody that's of the same sex. But nevertheless, it's not the same as what God did. God can't sanction it. It's an unsanctioned union. It's not, you know, and even when people decide to shack up, that's not sanctioned either. You have to be married. God blesses marriage. I told my children that when they were very young, I said, as you grow, you're going to see people shacking up. I said, never do this. Never do this. You're going to have to decide not to do it. You're going to have friends that do it. And you have kin people that do it. And they're not going to stop. But one thing about it, God can't bless that. I said, if you don't believe that that's not the way to do things, look at the countenance on the faces of people that do the wrong thing anyway. They're not happy people. Now, I'm saying this because when you do what's right, when you're that city set on a hill, you've taken aside, you've taken God's ways upon you, and you're living the example of God. And the reason Jesus said, don't take this light and hide it under a bushel. My goal is not to make people feel comfortable with me. My goal is to represent Jesus while he can be represented. Because when he come back, he's not coming back to save. He's coming back to take over the earth. He already came as a baby. Elder May said one time, he's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back to fight. He's coming back to take what's his. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar saw a stone cut without hands. It rolled down and tore up that statue. It rolled down a mountain and tore up the statue that he saw, which is the different ages of man, starting with Babylon. It was five kingdoms. Babylon is the head of gold. Media Persia was the breast and arms of silver. Then the Grecian Empire was the torso. Then it started with Babylon, Media Persia, then the Grecian Empire. It was divided into four winds of heaven. Then the Roman Empire came up. And then it got down to the ten toes where, you know, at the feet it was partially of iron and partly of miry clay. So this thing was top heavy. Gold is heavier than silver. Silver is heavier than iron. And then, as it goes down, every metal was heavier than the previous. And then the last part, iron mixed with clay. You know, I think the torso was brass, but anyway, the heavy metals is top. It's top heavy. Then a stone teared all the pieces. That's Jesus tearing up the kingdoms of man. Because he came to take back his. And then that stone became a mountain. And that covered the earth. And it's a kingdom that will never be stop existing. Jesus is the last king. Period. He's the King of Kings. He's the last king of Israel and the last king of Judah and the last king of the Gentiles. He's the primary king. He's going to take it over. So, but before he do all that, he wanted people to, he wanted to be represented. He wanted every soul to know that God loves you. I gave my analogy of the people at the park. The people that's living in a rebellious life, God loved them too. But he has to expose what's wrong with what they're doing to them. He gave them a godly example so that they can have a comparison. If everybody's doing dark things, they can't have a comparison. And they'll remain in their sins. But see, God is calling people out of sin as we live the light. If we hide under a bushel, we become fruitless and ineffective and rebellious. You have to let your light shine. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people at the expense of losing souls that God could gain. I live this way and I preach this way to everybody. If anybody don't like it, they just got to get over it. And that's just how it is. Why wait till they've fallen in the pit? Nobody told me I shouldn't shack up. Nobody told me I shouldn't have a political marriage. And they won't read the Bible because, you know, people that do dark things, they run from the light. That's automatic. That's the first thing Adam did when he sinned. He hid from the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day with his fig leaves aprons on. So a lot of people are still hiding from the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day with their fig leaf religion and their fig leaf ways and their fig leaf marriages. When they could have a thriving marriage. You know, somebody, when you marry to somebody that loves you and you love them, you're not only blessed, you are wealthy. When you have children together, those children mean so much to you. You can't beat the life of God. I feel, you know, when I read the Word of God, the Old Testament, and everybody that had more than one wife, I kind of feel sorry for them. And I'm also thankful that I didn't have to have more than one wife. I want one wife. I wouldn't want to be like Solomon to have dozens, or David to have a dozen wives, or like Solomon to have 1,000. That'd be a headache and a half. You can't be what God does. Now, I use marriage for an example, but also the love of God. When you love people, when you take the high road, when you love people that don't love you. I'm talking about real love, the agape love. You know, even though people are not living right, doing right, or treating you right, you love them anyway. And that kind of love gets attention. Then the wisdom, not to mention the wisdom. Wow. When you have the wisdom of God, you can make the wisdom of God simplify complications. In the sight of everybody. The wisdom of God gets rid of conjecture. See, Daniel was one. He solved doubts. You know. When they saw the handwriting on the wall, they said, go get Daniel. Let me turn over there. I mentioned that last week. And I like to not mess up the scriptures. And nothing wrong with the scriptures. I'd rather read it and then trust my memory to do it justice. Daniel 5. Listen to this here. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, iron, wood, and stone. They praising, foolishness. Verse 5, the same manner, and the same, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of thy father, light and understanding, watch this, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Now watch this. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. And he did. Now, I don't know if this was Nebuchadnezzar's wife. In one broadcast, I said this queen was Nebuchadnezzar's wife. But Belshazzar was actually the grandchild of King Nebuchadnezzar. So this queen, of course, could have been either his mother or Nebuchadnezzar's wife. I don't know. But I know it recognizes her as the queen. But see, a few verses before that, he said that his wives were there. And his wives and his concubines drank. They were drunk. So he didn't ask them drunks. He called for the queen. So that's why I assumed it was Nebuchadnezzar's wife. Or his father's mother, or his father's wife. Belshazzar's father's wife. I don't know. So that's for somebody to know, but I don't. I don't pretend to know things I don't. But I think it was Nebuchadnezzar's mother. But I don't know. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar's wife. But nevertheless, she got Daniel. Because for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. And we know the story, of course, he did. And he told him what the interpretation was, what was going to happen, and it happened at night. And he didn't take rewards for it. And see, he had wisdom. She said, there was a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. They believed in other gods, you know. But this... in other words, the Holy Spirit is on him. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Because the wisdom of God was found in him. And that's what dissolves doubt. That's why I said, that's why I read all this. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Daniel was their master. Not that he believed in what they were doing, but he saved their lives because he interpreted He told Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was, and my poor attempt to explain it, and then he told the interpretation. And you know, that was not Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He saw the statues, head of gold, the arms of silver, then the torso of brass, legs of iron, and feet iron and clay. They're designed to fail. The world system is falling, folks. It's going to be destroyed by Jesus. And remember, all the wicked, they don't have spiritual wealth on their life. They have spiritual debt. They're causing judgment to happen to them. But when people get saved and born again, then they come out of that evil, that disaster, that if you judge yourself, you won't be judged if you're a Christian. But if you hold the truth and unrighteousness, you'll be judged. Now, Jesus came to do something, and this is where I want to go with this. The Lord loves his people. And he would rather save everybody than destroy them. He don't rejoice in anybody's destruction. He wants to save us. He came to represent Father so that we could be just like Jesus. Not only the good and innocent, but those that are wicked and contrary. This is their last hope and chance to live forever. The sad thing is many people are going to go on to hell in their ways. People are in hell right now. All the people that didn't get saved, didn't trust Jesus as Lord, lived a raggedy life before God, rejected the light, they went to hell, folks. And they've been in that torment ever since they died. But that's not the will of God. God don't rejoice in a man's demise that way. He wants us saved. He made each of us in his own image, and Jesus died for us, I say collectively and individually, or collectively as well as individually. He said, now John chapter 4 says a lot of things that's very good. Verse 2 says, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist which ye have heard that should come, and even now already is in the world. Then he said this in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. They are the world, verse 5, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hateth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Both of them are at war. So when you follow God, you're doing it publicly. And you're providing people with glory light that's invisible. See, the difference between the glory of God and the glory that's upon our lives, which is obedience. Our glory is still invisible. They see something about us, but they don't see the illumination that you would have seen on Adam. As he walked through, that glory represented his love for God and all the wisdom of God and everything he learned from God. You could see it in glory form. See, the glory can be whatever God needs it to be. It's not limited to just light. When he said, let there be light, the earth was illuminated. You could see it from everywhere. The sun was off. The sun didn't come on till the fourth day, along with all the stars. But when you walk in the living, just like Mom Powell, she walked in, I saw the love of God on this woman, and I wanted to understand what she understood. I wanted to have that kind of relationship with God myself. So I became her student. She was my teacher. Verse 7. Now that's the one who showed me that how wonderful it is to receive the Holy Spirit and listen to him as a way of life. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He took our place so that we could have his life, and he got rid of our sin. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Consider that now. The love of God being perfected in you. You will give. Imagine all the people you're going to meet throughout your life and days. You're going to present them with the perfected love of God. Now, what if you did this before you got married? You'll attract a person that embraces that kind of love. Unfortunately, sometimes people meet their spouse before they learn to walk in this love. And God put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. So the faster you walk in the love of God, the better things can work out for you. And you'll choose a better mate, and the right mate will choose you, or it's more apt to happen anyway. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, a portion of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwells in him, he and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, and we have known and believed